My biggest fear, the only fear I've ever had, was not being prepared for a great opportunity. You know, and so I made sure I was always ready. So I went with Sinatra at 29, you know. And that's why no music scares me. None.
Quincy Jones, the man of the moment, and very much part of the zeitgeist with his appearance at this year's proms. And recently we also had him on Jazz Lineup when we caught up with him at the Montreux Jazz Festival. That's still available on the iPlayer and well worth a listen if you didn't catch it the first time around. But today we've got something different, the music of Quincy Jones performed by the fabulous Norrbotten Big Band from Sweden. And there'll be more from the Norrbotten Big Band later on in the programme. Plus, also on the show, Kevin Legendre joins me for another of his giant steps. Kevin, tell us what classic album you've chosen this time.
It's Happenings by the great vibraphone player Bobby Hutcherson, which was recorded in 1966. It has some really, really great playing, showcases the beauty of the instrument, the vibraphone, with a great band. And it has some really wonderful compositions as well. Here's a taster, just to get you in the mood.
Looking forward to that, Kevin. That's a great choice. Well, let's start the show with Quincy Jones, or rather his arrangement of Harold Arlen's Blues in the Night, performed by the Norrbotten Big Band. And they're one of Sweden's premier big bands and have worked with a range of famous soloists, including the trumpeter Randy Brecker. And they've collaborated with the Grammy Award-winning arranger Maria Schneider. Let's hear them in terrific form playing their version of Blues in the Night.
Please give a big hand to Mr. Robert Nordmark on the tenor saxophone.
The Norbotten Big Band with that sassy arrangement by Quincy Jones of Blues in the Night. And stay tuned for more from that set and more music associated with Quincy Jones later on in the show. John Scofield is one of the principal innovators of modern jazz guitar, whose career has embraced many styles of jazz, bebop, funk, organ jazz and chamber jazz. But 2016 finds him in a new conceptual territory where he explores his love affair with country music. Yes, who knew? The new album is called Country for Old Men and includes songs by James Taylor, Merle Haggard, George Jones and Dolly Parton, who wrote this track, one of my favourite melodies, and Scofield really keeping the character and twang of the music with Jolene. Thank you. Please Don't Take Him Just Because You Can. Jolene by Dolly Parton and a jazz treatment by guitarist John Scofield with Larry Goldings on piano, Bill Stewart on drums and Steve Swallow on bass. And that's taken from the album Country for Old Men. That's out on the Impulse record label on the 23rd of September. Norwegian saxophonist Marius Nesset has made a name for himself over the last few years as being something of a sensation with his awesome technical abilities and explosive energy. Well, he's now a major figure on the European jazz scene. Well, fans will be pleased to know that he's coming to the UK for this year's London Jazz Festival, where he'll be playing the first ever live performance of his latest album project, which is called Snowmelt. It's a unique collaboration with the London Sinfonietta, and to give you a flavour of the music he'll be performing, let's hear a track now from the album Snowmelt. This is Arches of Nature, Rainbows. The lush soundscape of saxophonist Marius Nesset at the helm with the London Sinfonietta, and that track Arches of Nature, Rainbows, is taken from the album Snowmelt, which he'll be performing live for the first time at LSO St Luke's in London on the 18th of November as part of this year's London Jazz Festival. Time now to hear a couple of tracks from the performance by the Norrbotten Big Band from Sweden, conducted by the Finnish musician Velu Haukosalmi. From an early age, Veli was a huge fan of Quincy Jones's music, describing it as love at first listen, and he tried desperately to source the sheet music from the 1959 Quincy album The Birth of a Band, but to no avail. So he embarked on the labour of love that was transcribing all the music himself. Well, this was to take him months, and during that time the word got around about his efforts, and even Quincy heard about his task and surprised him one early morning by ringing his home at 4 a.m. to have a chat. Well, they ended up talking into the dawn, and it turned out that Quincy had actually saved some of the original scores, which he sent over to Velu. The Metropole Orchestra were the first orchestra to play the new charts, and Quincy attended the concert and sat next to Velu for the performance, an evening Velu describes as absolutely unforgettable. Well, we're about to hear the impressive and widely respected Norbutton Big Band, who've been nominated several times for a prestigious Grammy Award. The first piece is written by Quincy and has been arranged by the conductor, Velu Haukasaami, and it's The Midnight Sun Will Never Set. It's a great feature for the saxophonist Håkan Brostrom. Thank you.
Mr. Håkan Broström on alto saxophone. Give it up. Yeah, this is great. The next song we will play, it is a Bobby Timmons classic composition called Moanin'. Mr. Jacek Onuskiewicz on the flugelhorn.
The Bobby Timmons classic Moanin' with an arrangement by Quincy Jones, and that was the Norrbotten Big Band, conducted by fellow Hauke Saami. Before that, you heard The Midnight Sun Will Never Set, and for a list of all the players' names, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. More from that fantastic Norrbotten Big Band and Quincy Magic later on in the show. This is Claire Martin with Jazz Lineup, bringing you the best of jazz from the UK and beyond here on BBC Radio 3. I'm still joined by Kevin Legendre, who's in the studio with me. I hope you're enjoying the music so far, Kevin.
I certainly am. I was lucky enough to see the Norrbotten Big Band in Luleå in Sweden several years ago when they were working with Django Bates, doing the orchestral arrangements of his Charlie Parker project, Beloved Bird. And I was really impressed by the soloists that they had. Really, really good reed section, very, very good saxophonist, and a great energy all round.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy the next track too, Kevin. Here comes a collection of Brazilian grooves just released from the more tropical sections of the Warner Brothers vault. The Beat of Brazil features tracks by a selection of Brazilian writers and performers such as Gilberto Gil, Flora Purim, Elis Regina, and Herbie Mann. But it's the lush, effortless orchestral sounds of perhaps Brazil's most famous composer, Antonio Carlos Jobim, that we'll now play. And it's the track Birimbau. Do you know this?
It's one of my favourite tunes. It's such a great Brazilian standard. And it's really important because it highlights the African heritage of Brazilian music as well. It's a tribute to an instrument, a percussion instrument.
It really does sound like a Jobim tune as well, doesn't it?
Through and through, yeah.
I love it. Let's hear it. Birimbau. I hope you are swept away by that sublime vibe from Brazil, Brazilian grooves from the Warner's vaults. That was Birimbau by Antonio Carlos Jobim. Well, it's time now to hear some more great big band music from the world-renowned Norrbotten Big Band from Sweden and their excellent concert set of Quincy Jones's music and arrangements. I was really impressed with the recent Quincy Jones prom, and so was everyone I know who saw it. An absolute sonic and visual treat, with the man himself making a star appearance and seemingly tireless in his boundless energy and love for music making. If you did miss it, then you're in for a treat. You can go to the BBC iPlayer as it's still available. This next track, Gwan Train, was written by one of the two female musicians that Quincy Jones had in his band, his childhood friend and respected pianist Patti Bone. She also played with Duke Ellington, Aretha Franklin, Sarah Vaughan and Dinah Washington, and had been given informal jazz tuition by Ray Charles, no less. Well, here's her composition with fine solos by Peter Dahlgren on trombone and Håkan Broström on alto sax. Gwan Train, with an introduction by the conductor, Velu Haukasaami.
Quincy had women in his orchestra. the big bands in the late 50s and 60s, it was not quite common. But Quincy had two female players in his orchestra. Melba Liston was one of his trombone players. And also the piano player in this touring orchestra was called Patty Bone, a very nice piano player. And she also writes music, and the next song that we play, the melody is actually written by Patty Bone. This arrangement is Quincy's. The piece is called Guan Train.
Thank you.
Give a big hand to Mr. Peter Dahlgren on the trombone. And Mr. Håkan Broström on the alto saxophone.
The next one we are about to play, the title is Hard Sock Dance. I asked him about the title and he told me that when they were touring in the Europe, they didn't get too many chances to wash laundry. So when you are traveling on a bus, at some point you start to feel your socks. The title comes from there. This is Hard Sock Dance.
This was Hard Sock Dance, and you heard Jacek Oniszkiewicz and Dan Johansson on the trumpets.
Please give a hand to Mr. Arvik Ingberg on the trombone. And fabulous Mr. Dan Johansson on the trumpet.
I never get tired of hearing that tune. Straight No Chaser by Thelonious Monk, played by the Norbotten Big Band. And our thanks to the European Broadcasting Union for that set of that wonderful music, celebrating Maverick producer and arranger Quincy Jones. For full details of the personnel, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. You're listening to the best jazz from inside and outside the UK with me, Claire Martin, on Jazz Lineup here on BBC Radio 3. We're staying outside the UK again for this next pick. I'm longing for a new release by the Swedish singer Victoria Tolstoy, whose last solo album was back in 2011 with the highly acclaimed Letters to Herbie collection, where she explored the music of Herbie Hancock. Well, let's hear from an album released this year that features her and commemorates the very tragic loss of her fellow countryman, the pianist and bandleader Esbjørn Svensson, who's lovingly remembered on Lost Hero, Tears for Esbjørn. Victoria is joined by Liro Rantala on piano, Ulf Wakenius on guitar, Lars Danielsson on bass and Morten Lund on drums. I think this is a truly magical live vocal performance of a song I've included in my repertoire over the years. It's such a moving and poignant lyric, and it was written by Esbjørn Svensson and Josh Hayden. Love is real.
How
Victoria Tolstoy singing the very moving Love is Real, and that's taken from the ACT label release Lost Hero, Tears for Espeon, which is out now, and includes music composed by EST and remembers the much-missed pianist who breathed new life into the piano trio format, Espeon Svensson. Time now for Giant Steps with Kevin Ajomra. Kevin, you've selected a superb recording essential to any collection. Tell us what you've picked and what makes this such a giant step recording for our listeners.
It's Bobby Hutcherson's Happenings, recorded in 1966, so it's the 50th anniversary. A really fantastic example of small group jazz that's very, very sensitive, very delicate, yet at the same time has this power. There's this quiet power which is running through it. The vibraphone is showcased as this really beautiful textural instrument, but you also have a great band as well. There's Herbie Hancock on piano, Bob Cranshaw on bass, and Joe Chambers on drums.
Mm. And also fitting to shine a light, Kevin, because very sadly, Bobby Hutcherson passed away recently. So, you know, a great loss. I know many people very upset. Friends that play vibes, Joe Locke in particular, Anthony Kerr, you know, devastating, really, because he was such a major player, wasn't he?
This is a tribute to him, not just because of his achievements as a musician, but as you rightly point out, the fact that he was a source of inspiration for so many other musicians as well. Young players like Warren Wolfe, Joe Locke, who you just mentioned. I think anybody who looks at the vibraphone, not just as a soloist's instrument, but as an instrument where you can create textures, where you can create really beautiful sounds, that's what makes this album so majestic, so magical, is at times they're actually not doing that much. Mm. Some of the compositions are very, very restrained, very slow and very understated, but it's what they're doing with the quality of sounds.
Very sophisticated writing, and most of the tunes were written by Bobby on this album. I think he does cover Maiden Voyage, which we'll play later on. But tell us about the first track. I mean, this is a beautiful melody called Bouquet.
Bouquet. It's absolutely magical. So this is a very slow waltz, and they use that 3/4 time signature, I think, to create this feeling of something that's floating in the air. It's almost like you're listening to feathers just floating around. It feels very, very relaxed.
Perfect technique as well on some of this when he's playing those very, very light top notes. I mean, I was talking to Anthony about his technique and he's absolutely brilliant sort of technician.
It's the lightness of touch he has and the fact that at times it sounds as if he's just skimming the keyboard on the vibraphone. The mallet technique, the way that you create the weight and the way that you let the mallets fall on the actual keys of the instrument has to be exactly right. If you listen to the moment about 3 minutes in where he creates that ripple effect, he's just trilling lightly on the instrument and it sounds almost like a triangle. It's like that you hear the percussive quality of the instrument, but again with the lightness of touch, it's like a triangle, yet at the same time it also suggests a Fender Rhodes, because the vibraphone is an acoustic instrument which has an electric quality. It has a motor. It's a very, very unique instrument in jazz. Mm. So it sounds very natural, yet at the same time, there's something quite futuristic and eerie about it as well.
Let's hear the first track then. Bobby Hutcherson from the album Happenings. We're talking about it with Kevin Ajomra, and this is Bouquet.
Thank you.
Bobby Hutcherson from the album Happenings, and that was Bouquet. Kevin, not the whole length of Bouquet then.
No, we couldn't, because it's 8 minutes long, and that's an important point, because it marks a change in jazz, where in the mid-60s, Kind of Blue was recorded in 1959, Mingus was recording music, where the compositions are getting longer, so that people can stretch out, as they say. You can have more soloing, you can have more changes, more interludes, more episodes, more sections, etc. And for some people, I suppose, that could be a bit problematic. Do you want to listen to a composition that's 8 minutes long or 10 minutes long? And do you want to buy an album where you have fewer compositions because the compositions are, each one is longer? Personally, I think it's great because of the quality of the music and the quality of the playing.
Bobby Hutcherson was the natural next step after Milt Jackson.
Yeah.
Milt Jackson, he heard as he was walking past a shop and heard it and decided that was the instrument for him. He was a son of a bricklayer and didn't really think he'd be a musician until he heard that. So that was a defining moment for him.
He was largely self-taught as well. I think he was an aspiring pianist before the Milt Jackson epiphany. But he came from a musical family. His sister was a singer.
Mm. She was a Raylette.
And he was always interested in music. And interestingly, he came from Los Angeles as well, which has a great history of rhythm and blues as well as jazz, and then went to New York. But I think to put this album in a wider context, we have to think about what he was doing in the years before.
Sure.
He was working with a lot of avant-garde musicians. The key one, the obvious one, being the alto saxophonist, multi-replayer Eric Dolphy. And then you've got people like the saxophonist Archie Shepp and Charles Tolliver, the trumpeter. Mm. So there's an experimental side to his music, but also a great love of melody. And I think a great love of playing ballads, too.
Mm. My favourite story, I have to tell you, you probably do know this, is when he was self-taught because no one was around to teach him. He made a little series of signs that he wrote on each note, little that helped him. And then just before his first ever gig at school, his mum thought she would be really helpful and wiped off all the signs. And so when he went to do the concert, it was just a disaster. And his bricklayer dad turns to his mum and says, "He's going to definitely end up bricklaying with me." And I just thought that was such a mum thing to do.
Well, he used his hands in a different way, not laying bricks, but actually playing vibes. So it worked out in the end. But yeah, that is a funny
story. I love that
story.
So let's talk about the next track, Rojo. Particularly love the synergy between the great pianist Herbie Hancock and Bobby Hutcherson on this track. And a bit more of a Latin feel to this.
Absolutely. This is a piece of Latin jazz. You'll remember when I spoke to Joe Locke for the programme recently, we talked about the importance of the vibraphone in Latin jazz, the vibraphone as a Latin instrument, because it's percussion. You're playing it with mallets. You're beating the instrument. It's very drum-like. And I love the... you talk about the communication between Bobby and Herbie. I think the connection between Bobby and Joe Chambers on the drums is really what makes this track as well. Because the two of them create this little wave of percussion, the rim shots from Joe Chambers kind of blending with the nice percussive attack of Bobby Hutcherson really gives the thing this great energy. Thank you.
Rojo, and that's from the album Happenings. Now, Kevin, terrific sonic recording this, isn't it? I mean, beautifully recorded.
For which we have to thank the great, unfortunately late, Rudy Van Gelder, the engineer who was the principal architect of the Blue Note sound and the sound of jazz throughout the 60s, because he engineered albums for other labels as well. And you can really hear this incredible crystalline quality. It's so clear. It's so well mixed. He knew exactly where to put each instrument to create that sense of a balance, of everybody being equal in the mix, of not having one instrument dominate another, which, as you know, you're a musician, you know what it's like when you listen to a recording sometimes and you hear one instrument which is out front and another instrument...
It's always the drums.
another instrument which is completely buried. And what is so great about this album is the fact that you hear all four instruments really as equal partners. Mm.
So let's talk about the next piece, because it's a really important piece of music, Maiden Voyage, of course. It's by Herbie Hancock, who's playing the piano on this. Why is this so important, and why do you think he chose it? He must have loved it, obviously.
He chose it because I think he was tuned into one of the key developments in jazz in the late 50s and early 60s, which was modal music, playing modally. The likes of Miles Davis's Kind of Blue, obviously John Coltrane's A Love Supreme, and Herbie Hancock as well doing Maiden Voyage, where they're looking at this new way of approaching composition, which is not based on loads of chord changes, it's just based on hovering around a few chords and bringing out melody, actually playing melodically. And it also requires, as we were saying before, a great deal of sensitivity, you know, to play in that way so that you're creating nuances. There's real attention to detail.
Many people have played Maiden Voyage, but, you know, I think this is a really special version.
It's a great version because you can really see how this piece basically depends on climaxes, which kind of, they get there and then they just fall back. It's almost tantalising. It's like, is this piece really going to take off, or is it just going to hover around the tonal centre? So you get that feeling of something which is going back and forth. It's not dissimilar to Bouquet. I think that's why the two pieces, they work very well in the sequencing of this album. You get that sense of the musicians who want to create atmospheres, who will play on the chords, who will create dynamics, who will actually push their solos to a certain extent, move away from the harmony, but then fall back in. So that
great tension and release.
Great tension and release, but sometimes just done on a couple of chords. And there are moments of darkness as well, where they will literally just hit the instruments a little bit harder. And I think that Bobby was really good at that, of playing very, very light, barely touching the instrument. And then when he needs to underline the end of a phrase or the beginning of a phrase, bang, he comes down a bit harder. The sharpness and the kind of sense of attack and energy increases in the music.
Brilliant technician. Do you think he was influenced by classical music?
Absolutely. I think, as we mentioned before, Milt Jackson was a great influence. And of course, Milt Jackson was one of the key figures of the modern jazz quartet, which is exploring this relationship between jazz and classical music. Bouquet, the piece that we heard before, and other pieces on this album, definitely bear the influence of Satie and Debussy. So French composers, I think, a major influence on Bobby Hutcherson. The other thing as well, which is very important, one of the reasons why we're playing this record, is because it foreshadows, I think, what's going to happen in the late 60s and early 70s with people like Lonnie Liston Smith. When they start to develop a kind of very ambient style jazz, if you listen to something like Lonnie Liston Smith's Astral Travelling, and then you listen to this, you can hear the direct connection, how Lonnie has actually tuned into what Bobby Hutcherson is doing here and pushed it in a slightly different direction.
Well, he made 7 albums for Blue Note. He had a very good career with recordings and leading bands. And then his last appearance in the UK was at Ronnie Scott's in 2010. Did you see him? Were you there? I so wish I was there.
I actually saw him at the London Jazz Festival when he made a brief appearance at a Jazz on 3 launch. And not only was he a fantastic player, he was also a great talker. He had these great stories to tell and these really profound statements to make about why people play music. It was very selfless, you know, he was very humble. I remember him saying very clearly, and there was a hush that descended on the room, you don't own anything in music. You're channeling something that comes through you. And I think that's why he probably had that enormous sensitivity that we hear on this album, because essentially he was somebody who was quite humble.
Oh, I wish I'd been there. You've led me perfectly into that then, Kevin. Thank you so much. Let's hear Maiden Voyage by Herbie Hancock. And we've been talking about Bobby Hutcherson. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire.
Thank you. Herbie Hancock's Maiden Voyage by Bobby Hutcherson, and so good to remember him and that wonderful recording Happenings in Giant Steps. And our thanks again to Kevin. On next week's Jazz Lineup, a performance by progressive jazz trio Mammal Hands, plus Phil Smith reports from Berlin looking at the connections with jazz and nature. Jazz Now on Monday night features saxophonist Dave Douglas and High Risk, plus an interview with the US sax man Donnie McCaslin about the forthcoming album by his band, and they recorded with David Bowie on his final album Black Star. We open today's show with a country classic by Dolly Parton, given the John Scofield treatment. So let's finish the same way with another country song given a jazz twist, and this time it's by the trio The Bad Plus, with their interpretation of one of the most famous country songs, I Walk the Line by Johnny Cash. The new album, called It's Hard, is a collection of covers, and it includes songs by Prince, Cyndi Lauper and Crowded House. Let's hear this quirky rendition by pianist Ethan Iverson, bassist Reed Anderson and drummer David King. From me, Claire Martin, until next time, bye-bye.